It's back for 2014, the Football Sack Podcast for Brazil, brought to you by Banking on Football.
It's the Football Sack Podcast, live, not from Brazil, but from Southern Cross University's radio studios, fantastic studios. We are here. My name is Jack Quigley, and I'm hosting it with two guys, and one of them's name's Christian Leyland.
Mate, I'm excited. How good's this?
I'm excited. Big Kev reincarnated there. Joining him and me in the studio is Pat Flaherty. Welcome back, mate.
Thank you. It's great to be back. How good is the intro?
How good is this? It's Samba beat.
It's Party Central.
Party Central, and I'll fade it down and it'll sound really awkward and quiet in a minute, but we'll soak it up for as long as we can.
I wish we had a webcam in here.
We should webcam.
We've been dancing and everything.
We're going to try and sort out a webcam for later in the World Cup, so... if anyone out there is looking to do a hunger strike, we can help that by putting you off your food and showing our faces on the internet. We are recording this show on the eve of the tournament. It's Thursday the 12th of July, and the opening game is tomorrow morning, 6 a.m, Brazil against Croatia. Today's episode is just going to be a short intro to the tournament. We're going to go through some of our favourites, our dark horses, and we'll of course talk about the Socceroos. And then from tomorrow onwards, we'll begin our run of 29 episodes in a month and a few days? 33 days? 35 days is the length of the tournament?
5 weeks.
5 weeks, okay.
That's dedication, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I make 5 sevens, 35. So 29 shows in 35 days. And this is Elvis in Vegas. And now we're like David Copperfield in Vegas. We are just playing nightly shows, and the crowds just turn off. Like, we're cabaret stars, basically. And in Elvis fashion, I plan to abuse sleeping and pep pills to get me to bed and up in the morning each day, and eat toasted sandwiches to the point where I get really fat and die on the toilet at the end of the tournament.
Well, mate, by the amount of people we had in this room earlier today helping us out, it did feel like we were the stars of the Vegas show.
Yeah, I mean, I love the intro music. I can picture walking on stage in a big silver studded jumpsuit. And anyway, let's talk about football. It's World Cup time. 4 years we've waited for this. How good is it?
That's brilliant. It's great to be back. I mean, 4 years ago, we started this podcast. We did it. We bought the T-shirt. We did all that stuff. Yeah, won a few awards. We created this great show, and now we're back again to, lose all our credibility that we gained.
Uses the word great very loosely in describing the show that we made here, but it's wonderful to be back, and it's wonderful to have three people in the studio. So Pat and Christian joining me today. So, guys, let's kick off the show by talking about... is the World Cup going to be ready? Much like Pat missed our media launch this morning. Brazil, not ready. Pitch in Manaus today doesn't look very good. Is it going to be a disaster, or is Brazil going to pull through at the last minute?
It looked like they're getting ready for the beach soccer World Cup.
Yes,
that pitch was just sand.
Yeah, Brazil's going to kill it when they play there. The ball never touched the ground. They'll just flip it around to each other. Maybe we should play long ball. I don't think we're even playing in Manaus, so it doesn't really matter. But
well, it just reminds me, it was one of those first World Cup pitch was just a dirt pitch, wasn't it? So maybe they're taking us back to the original days, that first Uruguay-Brazil match where...
Was that played on dirt?
I think it was. There was some World Cup played on dirt. Maybe it was basketball.
Apparently, when FIFA brought in the rule about having to wear shoes, it ruled India out of one of the World Cups.
The only World Cup they qualified for, in fact. And they went there and said, sorry, you got to play for shoes. Like, well, I guess we're just going home.
Is that the only World Cup they've ever played? There you go. That's outstanding. Good stat. Well done. Good fact. The Socceroos, let's talk about them, and then we'll go through our dark horses and that sort of stuff. So the nation's hopes are riding on this team of youngsters, Ange's men. We trust in Ange. Well, I trust in Ange. Do you trust in Ange, Christian?
Yeah, what other choice do you have?
That's right. Pat, do you trust Ange?
Yes. I think he's brought a style to the football team that we haven't seen in a very, very long time. And
I'm genuinely excited. I read in 442 Kevin Ayres' editor's notes talking about the fact that 2006 was so fantastic, but 2010 was really flat. You know, we sort of, because it was just the same 2016, 4 years older, and had it not been for getting rid of Holger Rossi, the 2014 team would have just been the 2010 team, 4 years older, and just the 2006 team, 8 years older. So we haven't had this freshness since Hussein took over in 2005 for me. I'm so excited. I really, I don't care that we're in a tough group. I really love that we're the underdog. I think if you're not going to win the tournament, you may as well be a massive underdog and enjoy your time.
It's just a shame that we've had a few injuries, some of our best players.
That is the problem.
Yes, if we had those, like Rogic.
I would love Rogic Cruz. And Cruz.
I think the excitement in the team would be a lot.
Yes.
Would be at fever pitch. I reckon the nation would be behind the team. But at the moment, I think people are expectations of the team absolutely are pretty low.
Do you know who I put down as the player that I'm the saddest about? I mean, obviously, Cruz and Rogic are huge losses. I would have loved to have seen Trent Sainsbury at this World Cup. I've got a mountain of time for Trent. What do you think, mate? Who's your biggest loss for the Socceroos?
I think Reece Williams is probably worth a mention, too.
Yeah,
I
mean, good shout.
I mean, Matthew Spranovich, I think, is going to be a star in centre-back for Australia. He's got great technique. He's got great vision. When you watch him live at stadium
super
every
player.
Week. Super player. But Williams would have been really nice sitting beside him. You know?
Absolutely. The problem isn't Spiranovic. It's who's alongside him. We've had Alex Wilkinson's played the last couple of games.
A bit shaky.
Looked shaky again. Well, he looked awful against Ecuador, shaky against South Africa B, but sort of okay against Croatia. But Croatia, let's be honest, were in second gear for that game.
Well, Croatia got us confused. The other team in green and gold just sat back and
parked the bus and were wondering why the attack never came. Just parked the bus and wondered why we didn't show up to the party. But that was for me, that'll be our biggest loss. So, but understanding what you say, it's not our best team, but it's still exciting. Very exciting for me.
Like, normally every World Cup you see, like, players, they develop, like, really quickly.
Yeah, Holman at the last World Cup.
The one before that.
Wilkshire.
Cahill, yeah. Wilkshire.
Yeah.
So, I'm not really sure who's going to really flourish at this World Cup. A few players, I think.
It's kind of why I'd like to see Bailey Wright play at the back instead of Alex Wilkinson. Nothing against Wilkinson. I'm sure he's a nice guy. But I sort of feel like, well, let's be honest, this is Wilkinson's last major tournament. He's not going to play, well, if we don't count the Asian Cup, he might make the Asian Cup squad. But I think Bailey Wright could be the dark horse Luke Wilkshire kind of player. He's playing at the same level Wilkshire was playing at when he was plucked in 2006 by Hiddink. And who knows, it could be that player again. But I find it unlikely. I think it's probably likely that we'll see Wilkinson and Spranovic at the back. Yes?
Yes, most likely.
Yes. Let's go through our players to shine and to shank for this tournament for the Socceroos. Pat, do you want to go? Who's going to shine for you from our squad?
I think the shine is Matty Ryan.
Yes.
He's going to get a lot of work, and I just think he's going to show how good he really is.
I think so too. I think there's a lot of Matt Ryan in this tournament about Robert Green when he was one, like, goalkeeper of the year in the Premier League whilst being relegated with Norwich, just because the sheer weight of shots coming at him. He's going to make 50 saves a game.
Exactly right.
He might let two or three in, but I agree with you for that. And he's come off a fantastic season in Belgium.
Yeah, well, he won the goalkeeper of the year in the Belgium League, played a stack of games, and you know, going to that sort of that middle tier competition in Europe has been great for him.
It's a masterstroke. Mm. Yeah, didn't go too high and sit on the bench, and that is so crucial for young Socceroos players to make the right step. We've seen Mitch Langerak did the opposite. I think went to a club that was too big, hasn't played a game of football, and that's why he's on the bench at this World Cup, because he just can't justify the game time. So he's your player to shine. Who's your shank?
From what I've seen of him, Ben Halloran. In that last warm-up game, he did not enthuse me at all.
No, there was
a lot. I think I wrote about 40 tweets. He's got a worse first touch than Rolf Harris.
We're away. All right, good. Someone had to make the first questionable joke of the World Cup, and it's Pat, and we're underway. A lot of hype about Ben Halloran because of his pace, and he scored a few goals.
He just reminds me of a really young Brett Holman. Like, he just runs, his head's chopped off, and
he'll get the ball and just boot it.
He's
not there at the moment.
He had the really terrible turn in the corner against Croatia where he tried to pirouette on the ball and kicked it out for a goal kick. For me, it wasn't his funniest moment of the game. His funniest was, and Pat and I were laughing at it together, he played like a short 4 or 5 yard pass to Troisi, who was literally no more than a few yards away, missed him by a good 2 or 3 yards, but had already turned and set off for the return pass. Like, assuming
went straight to a Croatian player. He turned around.
He was going for the return pass. So, I can see Ben Halloran will either I think he will either shine or
he'll
shake.
Either be the X-Factor that we need, or he will be the dud.
Yes, for sure.
So hopefully he's X-Factor.
We'll go through mine. For me, I agree with you, Matt Ryan to shine, and Ben Heller, I don't know. We'll see. But I'm not even sure he'll get much game time. Christian, you mentioned earlier, he's probably not going to see much of the park.
No, I don't think so. I mean, like I said, your Matt Ryan call is like spot on. Everyone knows he's going to do well. But yeah, Ben Halloran, there's players above him in the pecking order. He's not first choice. I would be surprised if he has enough time to even prove you right.
Yes, my player to shine for the Socceroos is Matthew Leckie, who is probably what you're referring to there, Christian, as the player ahead of Ben Halloran, who's going to stop him from shining.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean,
I've snookered Pat in the basically in the who's going to shine contest. But expecting, I like Matthew Leckie a lot as a player. I liked him at Adelaide, and obviously I haven't seen much of him playing in Germany, but he's been doing well.
He has. I mean, when he was at Adelaide, I mean, it's my personal opinion that he's the one who actually made Flores look quite good.
Yes.
I mean, Flores has talent, but Leckie really made him stand out, and that's the reason why he got the Player of the Year award.
By getting on the end of all those passes and finishing the chances.
Yeah. And while Halloran looked a bit dodgy in the warm-up games coming up to this World Cup, like he's done the opposite. He's actually just improved his stock. He's impressed people. Not always with the right final delivery, but man, there's some potential there, and he's going to cause some danger when we have the rare attacks.
Absolutely. And let's be honest, the Socceroos are going to get like 1/2 chances a game. We're going to need him to make the right choice in those areas. And that's probably somewhere where Adam Taggart might get sort of 10 minutes at the end of a game, because he's shown this year that he's that sort of player. And he apparently, when he played, because he came from Perth before he went to the Jets, when he played with Robbie Fowler taught him that the key to scoring a lot of goals is to shoot when players don't expect you to shoot. Get a shot away whenever you can. And this was sort of this A-League season just gone, was Taggart's first full season of being given a run in the team. He tried to get as many shots away as he could and got the golden boot. So for me, I'd give him a shot if we can, if we need a goal, which we, let's face it, we're going to need to. I'd like to see him get a go. But Leckie as my player to shine. My player to shank, I can't split Wilkinson and Vidicic. The reason I can't split it is because I don't think Vidicic will get enough touches of the football to shank them.
Yeah, like the last warm-up game, you didn't even notice he was on the field.
You asked me if Vidicic was playing. I said, yeah, he went off about 5 minutes ago. It was about the 65th minute of the game, which is a bad habit for Vidicic. It does happen a lot to him. So, but I don't know how much game time he's going to get. And for me, Alex Wilkinson, I'm having nightmares. That second half of the Ecuador game, I just picture Alexis Sanchez running Diego Costa, these sort of guys. Robin Van Persie, how is Alex Wilkinson going to deal with him? So,
well, I can tell you I can deal with him. He can go to elite personal training and get fit enough get to sharp. Deal with those players.
Good shout. One of our sponsors, Pat, take it away.
Elite Fitness Lismore, specialising in weight loss, muscle and strength training, nutrition and diet support.
Brilliant.
Phone Dean, 0403571582. Brilliant. They're in 132 Dawson Street, Lismore.
Fantastic. Get in there. I've been there. It's a really cool little studio.
Yeah, I think we're both. Well, I think we're all going to go there.
Yes, we're all going to go during the tournament to try and stay fit and not look like Elvis by the end of it.
We're going to have before and after photos with.
No, we're not.
Twitter. Sure.
Yeah, people have appetites. Remember?
I am keen to get naked.
What do you like with Photoshop? If you can put my head on like Sonny Bill Williams' body.
I think I've done it on Facebook.
I think that's your profile picture on Facebook.
I've done that on Paint.
It's quite obvious too. If you haven't seen it, it's a photo of just Sonny Bill walking through the gym, just this jacket outline of Pat's face on his head.
So everybody, go to Facebook and type in Pat Barrett. Yes. Have a look at this.
Can you change it to your Twitter profile for the tournament so people know who we're talking about?
I will.
Brilliant. Christian, give me your shine and shank for the Socceroos for this tournament.
Well, shine was going to be Matthew Sprenovic. We already sort of touched on him. I don't really have much more to say. I think Jason Davidson's going to be a player to watch. I mean,
very impressed with him.
He's going to get the game time because he's in that position where no one else is going to step in. He's looked quite good in his warm-up matches beforehand, and he's got pedigree in his father, Alan Davidson, who's one of Australia's greatest Socceroos. So it's I think he's the player to keep an eye on out of everyone in terms of he could be that player who people didn't know about 6 months before the tournament. Mm. He comes along, he makes his big impression, and it's he'll be one of Australia's future players.
It's been steps forward ever since his debut for Davidson, because he scored an own goal with his first touch in international football. So when you do that, you can only really go one direction. So that's good. He's made the most of that, which is excellent.
I reckon he's actually looked at home down the left there. He's actually...
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I've been very happy.
Like, he's been there for years.
The thing that makes me feel happy about it is that we just haven't been copying attack after attack after attack. It's almost like with a defender, the more you don't notice them, the happier you are with them. So it's almost like refereeing in a sense, I suppose. So yes, I agree with you.
Beautiful. My shank player is probably going to be Tommy Orr, to be honest.
Ooh, yeah, right. Now, that's a big call. No, a lot of hopes on the Tommy gun.
No, this is dependent on what position he plays. I mean... Ever since he's played for Socceroos, lots of hype, lots of, you know, he's got so much promise. He went over to the Netherlands, obviously, FC Utrecht. What has he actually done is my big thing. You know, we watch him play for the Socceroos. When have we seen him deliver for the Socceroos, apart from when he delivers a crappy cross which goes in for a goal?
Yeah, that's he killed Indonesia on his debut, though. Let's not forget that.
Now, what his saving grace here, I think, is because he's playing number 10 at club level. So he comes in, slots in number 10 in the Socceroos, and I would retract my statement because I think at number 10, that's where he plays regularly. He could actually probably do a job. On the wing, I don't think he quite has what it takes yet at the international level.
Well, I think everyone's desperate to make him Harry Kewell, aren't they? Mm. And he's not Harry Kewell. He's Tommy Orr, and I think, like you say, he's got to play the position that suits him. So
I thought he looked better on the wing than he did at number 10.
That's just because he's closer to you, mate. You get a better view of his body.
Yeah, your eyesight's bad, so he looks better when he's closer. All right, brilliant. Well, I think that's great to hear everyone's shanks and shines, but it's all a little bit too in-depth for me, so we need to cover the big talking point of this tournament, the predictor-oo at Australia Zoo.
That is weird.
I'm just going to play a bit of audio for you. If you haven't heard at home, everyone remembers Paul the Octopus from the 2010 World Cup. Mm. Bindi Irwin and Australia Zoo have come up with Predictor. I'm not going to explain. I'm just going to play the audio for you.
G'day, I'm Bindi Irwin. Welcome to my home, Australia Zoo, on Queensland's beautiful Sunshine Coast in Australia. Australia Zoo is also home to a very special friend of mine, our gorgeous eastern grey kangaroo, Flopsy, and her beautiful friends.
I'm going to stop it there and save you a bit of punishment. Basically, she's got a kangaroo and she's trying to do a Paul the Octopus thing, right? My favourite part of the whole thing is when she starts analysing the performance. So, Paul the Octopus, what did they put? They put like an oyster or something in a box.
In two trays in his water cage, and he went down and picked one.
That's right. Bindi puts two plates of food out in front of the predictor room. And have you seen it, Pat? Do you know what I'm talking
about? I haven't
seen
this one. I've seen the original, like the first video.
She puts the two plates of food down. The kangaroo chooses one. She commentates it like it's the 100-meter final in the Olympics. And then congratulates Croatia on playing a good game. Croatia, it's not Croatia. It didn't play. It's a plate of food. Here's the audio.
Here's Flopsy or predictor-oo. There's Croatia. There's Brazil. Let's see who's going to win. And it's Brazil! Oh my goodness, congratulations, Brazil. Well done. Also, great work to Croatia. I'm sure you'll play fantastic. This is an exciting day.
Dancing in the streets in Rio right now. How excited are they about it? And I'm sure that congratulations from Bindi is genuine. I'm sorry. I really like Australia Zoo. It's a fantastic place. I love animals. This is the worst thing I've ever seen.
My favourite part was when she was introducing the teams, she called them versus Croatian.
Yeah, she did. Yeah, we did. Did we play that? I don't think we played that. Yeah, when she introduces the two teams, it's Brazil and Croatian.
But it's great. She goes,
maybe it was a dish of Croatian. That's why the kangaroo didn't eat it.
It's an actual person.
Yes. Well, I was thinking more of a Croatian dish, like you would eat Italian.
But she says, like, well played Croatia. Well, actually, it's not really well played because you're a bowl of food. It's been presented to an animal whose first instinct is to eat any food.
And it didn't eat you.
I bet she put his favourite food in the bloody...
Oh,
Brazilian.
Absolutely, yeah. No, that's...
It's a stitch-up.
It's absolutely...
Croatia had absolutely no chance.
Yeah, this is rigged. I think the same bloke organised this as it was that Nigerian goalkeeper that threw the ball in his own net. That's how legit this tournament was. But I'll tell you where people can get a good bite to eat that isn't Croatian is Arrivederci's Pizza in Brisbane. Christian, tell us about Arrivederci's Pizza.
Well, it's not Croatia. It's not Croatian, but it's Italian. Italian food. Famous for meat.
A lot of places pizzas in the world aren't Croatian. Generally everywhere but Croatia. But carry on.
Meat-along pizzas open 24 hours for the World Cup, showing all games. Get a bite to eat, get some beers, get your mates along. That's in Milton Park Road.
Did you say 1 meter?
1 meter.
1 meter of pizza.
So that imagine a pizza as wide as you.
That's imagine amazing. Ordering a meter-long pizza and eating it yourself.
Do you reckon we can do it? I don't even know if it's been done. We need Arrivederci to contact us and tell us, is it like
maybe
a regular thing?
Like a wall
is it a
of
challenge?
Fame or
yeah, because if there is a wall of fame, like Pat says, I'm willing to put my hand up to give it a crack and almost die. We should do a live podcast from
We should do a live podcast while eating it. So between the three of us, we have to finish the meat of pizza during the podcast.
I reckon that's a really good challenge. Oh, talking with our mouth full. So
is there
anyway.
Any toilets or any or what?
So, Arrivederci's Pizza, Park Road, Milton in Brisbane.
A couple blocks of Suncorp Stadium. Too easy.
Yeah, may as well.
Sounds like a really good.
It does, yeah. Sounds fantastic. So, that's fantastic. We'd like to thank them. We'd also like to thank the major sponsors of this show, Banking on Football, for all your banking needs made by people who share your passion for football. If you would like to win a Socceroos supporter pack to wear during the World Cup and cheer on our boys, it includes a jersey, a shirt, a cap, and a ball. All you have to do is go to bankingonfootball.com/win and enter your details. That's just, you want to write that down, mate? It's bankingonfootball.com/win and enter your details and you're in the draw to win. Banking on Football do plenty of football related competitions, including one coming up for a signed framed shirt, Barcelona shirt signed by Lionel Messi.
Mate, surely if I enter this, you ought to give it to me. Mate's rights.
I have no say to it. It's sponsors of the show.
And while we're mentoring our sponsors.
I mentored all our sponsors. I said, you know what you should do with your life? Sponsor us. While we're mentioning your sponsors, I believe is what you were trying to say.
Yes, mentioning our sponsors. I should talk about SMG Australia, who actually helped bring some sponsors on board with us.
Thank you very much. SMG, Sports Management Group Australia, I believe that's that.
Correct. So they're developing Australian sport is what they're all about. You know, they supported organisations such as Special Olympics, who actually went to a function of theirs the other day. Girls Sports Queensland, the Gold Coast Titans for tomorrow, and they can help your sports club perform better through funding, exposure and community reach. You know, they've helped us out. They can help us out. They can help anyone.
We need a lot of help. High quality broadcasters that we are.
Yeah, so check out smgaustralia.com to find out how your club can score goals with SMG and everybody will go home happy.
Fantastic. Let's finish off by saying who we think is going to win the tournament and a dark horse. I'll get in and say I think Brazil are going to win it. Oh, shock horror. And my dark horse for the tournament is France to come through. Christian?
My dark horse is Italy. I think people sort of put them aside, even though they're a strong nation. You know, 2 years ago, they played really well in the Euros. They made the final, didn't play too well, but they did some great performances, including a cracking performance against a good suited Germany side. Favourites, look, you're going to be really predictable. I'm going to say Spain. You know, again, yes, they've been going well for quite a few years. I think people just assume because they've been going for so long, they have to falter. Well, at the moment, they're still looking quite good.
They're decent. Yeah.
They're decent. They're going to be okay.
Sure. Yeah. Pat?
My favourite is going to be Germany. It's their time to win something. And
they've had a good young team for a few years.
Yes, I think it's time they win something. And my dark horse is Uruguay.
Uruguay, right. Yeah. Either the South American thing.
Yes.
The Suarez thing.
Suarez, as long as he stays on the field.
Absolutely. all right, brilliant. Well, we'll wrap up today's show and make sure you join us starting from tomorrow. We'll be our enduring tournament shows. We'll be wrapping up, obviously, overnight game between Brazil and Croatia. We'll be previewing the Socceroos match in a little bit more depth. And we will also be doing plenty of other stuff during the tournament, including interviews with some surprise guests. We won't give it away who it is just yet, but we've got a good cross-section of footballers and celebrities to get through. So make sure you tune in, subscribe to us on iTunes and tweet us at The Football Sack or see us on Facebook if you would like to get in touch with the show. Thanks for joining me, guys. Christian?
My pleasure, mate. Thank you for having me.
See you tomorrow.
I will see you tomorrow. I hope you tune in tomorrow. See you, listeners.
You've been listening to the Football Sack Podcast for Brazil, brought to you by Banking on Football.